the Bible, it's appropriate that we have reached Deuteronomy chapter 5 in our studies in this book, because in that chapter, as you heard earlier, we read the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are perhaps what most people think of when they hear of the Bible. Not that they necessarily know what the Ten Commandments are, but that's what they think of. Do you and I know what the Ten Commandments are? Could we recite them? Let me read the first two verses of Deuteronomy 5. Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb," that's Mount Sinai. What is this word, covenant? And what are the decrees and laws? Well, let us think of a family. What makes a good family? Well, I'm sure you would agree with me, it is faithful love between husband and wife and children and parents. But also there are documents and rules. For example, when we have a wedding, and we had one here on Thursday, we have a marriage schedule and a marriage certificate is issued. Those are necessary documents for any marriage. And in the home, in a family, there are rules, aren't there? How do we manage our finances? And when children come along and grow up, we have rules such as whose turn it is to do the washing up today, or who is responsible for tidying each room, or what time should the children be in the evening. Now, the marriage lines and the household rules do not make the marriage, nor do they make family life. The marriage and family life come from love, faithful love. However, the rules and the documents are still necessary. Now, the decrees and laws, that is, the Ten Commandments, are like the rules and legal documents that are necessary for God's family's life, for the life of the people of the world. God's covenant means his everlasting love for us, and ours for him, a faithful love. Now, God gave to us the Ten Commandments because he loved us. However, his love for us and ours for him, that is the covenant, is greater than the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are embraced by the love of God for us and our love for him and our fellow human beings. But they are not the same thing as God's love for us. And so Jesus, when he was asked the question about the two great commandments, said, in answer to the question, what is the greatest commandment, Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, you probably keep your marriage lines and your birth certificates in a special deed box. The deed box for the Ten Commandments was the Ark of the Covenant. There was a television program, you may have seen it recently, about the search for the lost Ark in Ethiopia. Most interesting story. The Ark of the Covenant was built to be the place where the documents, Ten Commandments, written on tablets of stone, were kept. Do you know them? Do I know them? Do our children know them? They used to be taught in all the schools, didn't they? But if I'm not wrong, not many people under 40 were ever taught them, those who are under 40 now. In the next chapter, we read these words, verses 6 to 7, "These commandments," that is the Ten Commandments, "that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. They are, I believe, the basis of security and care in any society, whether it be this part of the world or the other side of the world. There are two issues that concern our society today. First of all, order. How do we stem the rise in crime? And the rich man's crime of fraud, as well as ordinary crime of car theft, is greatly on the increase. The second issue is care for the needy. How high should our taxes be to provide social security and health care for the needy? That's the issue that politicians debate, isn't it? And it's not for me here to comment on that debate. But I do believe I can make this one point. No government can make us better than we are. Let me give an extreme example. If everyone is dishonest, no government is going to be able to stop rising crime and give us security, no matter how much money is spent on the police and the courts and the prisons. If every one of us is selfish, no government is going to be able to provide a caring society, no matter how much money is spent on social services. Fortunately, there are still many, many honest and caring people. But dishonesty is increasing, and so is selfishness. Now, there's one other reason why God gave us the commandments. We read in the New Testament the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3:19, "The law, that is the Ten Commandments, was given us because of our transgressions." Because we are sinners, God needed to give us the commandments in order to restrain us from evil. We are sinners, and sin separates us from God. Until God comes face to face with us, we need the laws and the commandments to restrain us from wrongdoing, to prevent us from destroying ourselves. But the commandments are not the complete revelation of the righteousness of God. For that, Israel needed to wait the coming of the Messiah, in whom God does meet us face to face. Let's just look at a few of the commandments now. I'm going to miss out the first three because I've already spoken about them in previous weeks in other contexts. Number four is referred to in the December newsletter, which you'll receive today, so I won't comment on that now. However, I just quote some difficult words that occur after the second commandment, which forbids the worship of idols. These are words we find difficult. "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for the Lord your God, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Does God really punish children and grandchildren for the sins of their parents and grandparents? Is that just? Well, even the Old Testament prophets tell us definitely not. God does not do that. Jeremiah and Ezekiel particularly. So what do these words mean? I believe they mean that the sins of one generation will have consequences for succeeding generations. For example, more than one generation ago, our society began to belittle the place of the Bible in our country. Now the consequences are being seen in our society today. And sadly, they will be passed on down the generations, these consequences. We often hear people saying it's the parents' responsibility to discipline their children and bring them up, to know the difference between right and wrong. The Labour Party are saying that, the Conservative Party are saying that. They agree about that, at least. But how were those parents brought up? How were their parents brought up? That's another question. The parents of today, were they taught the difference between right and wrong by their parents? That's what I wonder. And soon today's children will be parents themselves. How will they bring up their children if neither their parents nor their grandparents taught them the difference between right and wrong? I wonder if either of our two big political parties will get to the root of the problem. It needs at least strong leadership from the public side of the church, who must show that they are confident in the Bible. What hope is there for society? Well, I find a hint of the hope in the other words at the end of this commandment. God is the one who shows mercy to how many generations? It says to 1,000 generations. The gospel of Christ encompasses the whole of the history of the world. It has been the means of salvation of millions of people whose lives had been ruined by evil and sin. And our task is to live for Christ and to pray for the thousands of people in our own parish who are in desperate need of the knowledge of the mercy and the grace of God, which encompasses all generations of humanity. Now let me briefly comment on the fifth and the seventh commandments. The fifth one is, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Now, both these commandments relate to family values, don't they? In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul comments that the fifth commandment is the first commandment with a promise. And the promise is that you may live long in the land that God is giving you. And this connects with what I've just been saying. When family life is upheld, in spite of its difficulties, society will survive a long time. That's the promise of God. We must not, of course, be sentimental about family values. Often family life is not happy and can be very difficult. However, if society simply breaks up families to find greater happiness, that society will reap a far greater misery in the long term. And such a community will not survive more than 3 or 4 generations. Now let me read briefly the remaining commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not tell lies, you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. Human life does not belong to us, it belongs to God. It is He who made us, we did not make ourselves. We are made in the image of God to reflect something of Him. Therefore, to murder is to attack God Himself. Do not steal reminds us that all dishonest gain is wrong. A security officer whom I met recently told me that everyone in the company he worked for stole from the company, from top management to those on the lowest wage scale. Everyone stole from the company. That may not be true of all companies. It was true of one company for which I once worked, but not true of another one for which I worked. More and more security is needed because of rich fraudsters and common shoplifters. The commandment is, you shall not steal. And do not bear false witness against others. We so easily do this, don't we, when we gossip about other people, or maliciously, out of fear or out of jealousy, speak of other people. Are you and I guilty of that? Do not bear false witness. Keep to the truth. If lying is common, no one trusts anyone, and human relationships break up. And no law will be able to repair that damage. Do not covet other people's possessions. Not only don't steal, but don't want to steal. In the New Testament, Jesus tells us not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, which are destined to pass away, but to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, which will remain eternally. We do not know the details about the glory of God and the reunion of heaven and earth at the end of the age, but we do know that there are only three things that we can take from this life into the next life, and they are the three things that abide eternally, Paul tells us, faith and hope and love, and the greatest is love. For love is that which holds the Ten Commandments together. However, the Ten Commandments do not tell us exactly what love is. For that we must look to Christ, where in his life and death and resurrection we see the love of God for all the world. And without that love, we are lost. All of us are lost, for all of us have failed the Lord in one way or another, haven't we? But we need not give up or despair. For he who taught and demonstrated the meaning of the love of God is also the one whose death takes away our sins, so that we might be forgiven and receive the Holy Spirit to give us a life which is pleasing to God. May that be true of all of us. Let us pray. Merciful Father, in spite of our wrongdoing, in spite of the world's breaking of your good commandments, you have loved us still. We thank you for that. We pray that all of us might receive deep into our hearts and lives the fullness of Jesus Christ, so that in his presence we might honor your commandments and live a life of love pleasing to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.